Hello, and welcome back to the Balance Blonde podcast, Soul on Fire. I'm your host, Jordan Younger, and today I have such a fun guest for you guys, Emily DiDonato. She is a model, the co-founder of skincare line Covey, and you may know her from her 2.3 million followers on Instagram. You're probably one of them if you're here. And I think a lot of people who follow the Balance Blonde also follow Emily. Her content is beautiful. It's relatable. She talks about everything from wellness to her modeling career to her skincare line and now her pregnancy. We are due just about 3 weeks apart, I'm pretty sure. I've had a lot of amazing, dynamic, powerful pregnant women on the podcast lately, and we are all due within weeks of each other. There was Chelsea Jade Curtis, who was just on Emily for this conversation. Hopefully, I'll be having my friend Gabby Bernstein, who I know all of you know and are fans of, on the podcast soon, who's due in March. She just announced, which is so exciting. So this is a pretty pregnancy-heavy conversation, mostly because it is so nice to connect with other pregnant women, also other pregnant women who are real about their experience. Emily and I talk about some of the lesser talked about pregnancy things in this episode, like how our bodies feel, what people have been saying to us, specifically her, online. And you'll be surprised at what some people think that they can say about our bodies when we're pregnant. It's so wild. And then if you're not so into the pregnancy content, also understandable. We talk about her career, her daily routine, her exercise, her skincare, her social media presence. We go into all of it, and I know that you guys will love this episode. So check her out if you don't already follow her, Emily DiDonato. Check out her skincare line, Covey. And before we get into this episode, just a couple things. One, I am getting so excited for everything going on this fall and this winter. First of all, I can't believe I'm having a baby in like 9 weeks by the time this comes out. And it's my favorite time of year. My birthday just happened. You guys know that from the birthday episode that I just did. It's going to be Halloween. I have a bunch of friends getting married. And then we have Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, all the things. So I'm just settling into this cozy time, feeling all the joy, spending so much time with my family, and being as present as possible before this baby boy comes. It's so exciting. And so many other life updates. We'll have to do another solo episode in the coming weeks. Although I do have a lot of good guests lined up for you guys in the coming weeks, as well as today. So before we get into this conversation with Emily, just a few quick reminders. One, if you feel inspired to rate and review the podcast on iTunes, send me a screenshot to jordan@thebalancewand.com so I can thank you by sending you my free yoga ebook. And we have a new sponsor for today's show that I am thrilled about because I've been such a fan of this on-demand fitness company for as long as probably this whole year. I actually discovered them on a podcast. So it's very fitting that I'm now talking about them on this podcast, and they are Obey Fitness. So a lot of you know that one of my passions is making working out fun because I am not into just like working out because you feel like you have to do it. If you're dreading your workout, it's probably not going to make you feel the way that you want to feel, and it's not going to give you the results that you want either. So a tool that's really helped me stay consistent and maintain a balanced routine, especially during this pregnancy, when it's tough to work out, is this amazing app called Obey Fitness. It is one of my favorite live and on-demand offerings out there. What I love the most is their variety, plus all of the different instructors are so good. You never know with a fitness platform how you're going to feel about the instructors. But I have not come across an instructor on Obey Fitness that I don't like, which is such a joy. So however I'm feeling, I can always find something that makes my mind and body happy. They have prenatal and postnatal workouts, and you can mix and match by how many minutes you're feeling up to. So typically what I do is I start with like a 10 or 11 minute prenatal stretch or workout. And then once I get my body moving, I can do something a little bit more. So then I go into like a 20-minute Pilates class or a bar class. Because right now, I'm all about the low impact. It's pretty much all I can do. So I love their Pilates, their Sculpt, yoga, meditation, like I said, their bar offerings. But they also have tons of super effective cardio and strength training options as well. And they range from 10 minutes to an hour, so they can fit into any schedule. And as a mama-to-be, their extensive library of prenatal, like I said, is perfect for me because it takes all of the guesswork out of exercising and just makes it easy. To see if it's a fit for you and your lifestyle, you can use the code BALANCED to get 1 month free at Obey Fitness. That's OBEfitness.com. And the code BALANCED will get you 1 month free. No strings attached. Who wouldn't do that, by the way? 1 month free, OBEyFitness.com. Code BALANCED. Enjoy and tag me to let me know what you think. Tell me what your favorite classes are so I can try. Now let's get into this episode with Emily. So you're coming in today from New York?
Yep, coming to you live from New York, downtown, Tribeca.
Oh, that's so amazing. I miss living in New York so much.
I love it here. I mean, I'm from New York originally. I'm from upstate New York, so I don't think I will ever be leaving the state for sure, but the city is coming back to life, which is really, really nice.
Yeah, it seems like it. New York Fashion Week last week. Even just watching it from afar, I was like, wait a second, the world is happening again. I don't know how I can get used to that.
I know. I felt the exact same way, like watching it, plus being pregnant and watching it. Like I was like, I want to be there, but I don't want to be there. If I was pregnant and being there, I don't know how I'd feel, like, but happy to see life coming back into the city.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was my next question. Did you go to any shows or anything? But
I did not.
Pregnancy is
like pregnancy. And I think I was also like, I've come this far avoiding large gatherings and I just entered my third trimester and I'm like, you know what? Just going to lay low for these next few months. That's just what feels right to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, our intuitions know. And yeah. I feel the same as you. I feel like we have come for the last year and a half, 2 years, you know, being so careful. And now's the time to really put our bodies first, which doesn't just mean putting our bodies first. It also means putting our babies first.
Totally.
And that's something I remind myself every day when I think about pushing myself, going and doing things, going on trips with friends. Mm-hmm. I just think it's not about me anymore. It's actually about this little baby inside.
Totally. I feel like it has forced me to become so much more in tune with myself and my body. And I kind of like it though, because like even when I have that one inkling or moment where I'm like, oh, I don't really feel like doing that. I'm not in the mood for that. I'm like, I'm going to listen to that. That was my initial instinct and voice. And I'm following my gut and I'm allowed to do that because I'm pregnant.
Exactly. And you're also allowed to do that always. And
exactly.
Isn't that the best reminder of all? We're so hard on ourselves. I'm number one on that list of so hard on myself, but we can always do that. We can always put ourselves first.
I think that is so true. It's a major thing I've learned being pregnant. You're so true.
Yeah. So I want to hear about your pregnancy journey. You're 28 weeks. So when this comes out, you'll be like 30, 31 weeks. You're having a girl.
Yes. Right?
Which excites me so much. I'm having a boy.
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to have one of each running around and we're only 2 weeks apart. So I want to hear everything. Like, were you trying? How did you find out? How did you tell your husband? All those things.
So far, so good. I found out very early on. I found out like at like 3.5 weeks, like the absolute earliest that you can find out. I knew something was going on. My husband and I were not actively trying, but we weren't not trying. I always say like, it was just kind of like, if it happens, I haven't been on birth control in a very long time, but I definitely wasn't tracking my cycle religiously or anything. It was just kind of like, if it happens, it happens. Like in these next couple of years, that would be great. It happened very quickly. But I didn't know at first. I had symptoms at like 3.5, 4 weeks. I don't know how early you can tell, but I remember it was so, so early. I was super bloated. I was very out of breath. That was my first symptom. Super, super out of breath and very hot. I have run hot this entire pregnancy. And I was like so unromantic and you know, didn't really make it a moment. Like when I found out, I ran to CVS, bought like 1,000 pregnancy tests, like they do in movies. Like it was literally like a movie. Like I walked out with a paper bag and I was like, I've got like 20 tests in here. I'm going to pee on all these sticks. And then when they all came out positive, like my husband, he was like going to at the doctor's or something. And right when he came home, I was just like, guess what? He was like, what? And I told him right away. It was very like straight to the point. And I also, I know this is kind of not for everyone, but I told my friends and family like close to me right away as well. Mm-hmm. I was not one of those people who is going to hide it or pretend. I was just like, yeah, I'm pregnant. So I've been playing the pregnancy card since the day I found out.
Yes, yes.
So yeah, that's kind of how it's been.
I love that. I'm like you. I cannot hold it in. I couldn't hold it in. How am I supposed to be around my family and my closest friends and not tell them?
Yeah, I felt the same way.
Yeah, but that's amazing. I love that it was kind of a surprise and also you were excited about it. And it seems like, I mean, the right stage, you know, the right stage of life, and it's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Like even as I progress more in my pregnancy, like it just feels like right place, right time, right period of my life to be focusing on this, which is a really nice feeling.
Mm-hmm. I feel that way too. And I believe, I don't know if you're into all this stuff, but the baby's soul picks when it wants to come in. So I think your daughter was just ready to come in. She's like, I don't know if you're ready, but I'm coming.
Exactly. So I welcomed it with open arms for sure. I mean, of course, and I'm sure we can talk all day long about the symptoms that come with it, but I definitely was happy and like welcomed it with open arms.
Of course. Yeah. And it is, it's hard. Like that's something we can talk about that I would love to talk to you about, because before being pregnant, people are honest about this. Yes. But like, there's no way to imagine how hard it can actually be until you're experiencing it. Cause I always thought, oh, that sucks that like that person has so much pain pregnant or that, but that probably won't be me. I don't know why I thought that. Well, I have had everything. So obviously it could be worse. It's a healthy pregnancy. I'm so grateful. But my body, my mind, my mental health has been a huge roller coaster. So I would love to talk to you about that and just hear more about your experience.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I completely agree. Nothing could prepare you physically for what is about to go down. I mean, I will say in the beginning of my pregnancy, I had, you know, the nausea and the exhaustion. And that was hard in the first go. I think like generally what's been hardest for me is definitely the fatigue, the exhaustion, and how it feels for me mentally and spiritually. Like, I think I never realized how productive and what a busy bunny I was prior to being pregnant. And then being pregnant, like my energy levels are low, my motivational levels are low. Like, it's just everything is just kind of running at a different level. And I think I found myself being really hard on myself, like just being like, push through it. Like, come on, there's like women out there, like in corporate America, like sitting in an office right now, probably like throwing up in a garbage pail, which is true. Like I've heard the story a million times, like under her desk and like still powering through her day. And I can't even like go for a walk without taking a nap like 20 minutes later, like no joke, which I'm sure you feel the same way.
I do.
So yeah, like I think I was just so frustrated and angry about that at times. I still get frustrated and angry about that at times. I'm still like working through that, but I definitely just have those days where I feel pretty down. I feel like really not great. And no matter how much you remind yourself how grateful you are and how great this is, you've been so lucky, like things have been smooth sailing for the most part. You still always are like, you just hear those stories of women who love being pregnant. And I'm like, why? Can you tell me why?
I know. I'm totally with you on that.
Yeah. I mean, I was saying to my husband the other day, I was like, you just wait. Once this baby comes out, I just can't wait to feel like agile again. Like, cause you just feel so like cumbersome and like slow. And I'm like, when this baby is out, I'm going to be like running a marathon. Like, I just can't wait. Cause I just feel so much slower generally, but it is teaching me that like my body will not accept anything else. So I'm just kind of like, I just got to do what it says.
Yep, surrendering. Mm-hmm. I think these little baby souls too are teaching us to slow down. And it just shows you, even if you thought you'd already slowed down your life, like I had thought that I had, I really hadn't. No. I really had not. I was still all over the place. And I know that you were too. I mean, you have such a dynamic life and multiple businesses and this dynamic career. And yeah, there it just shows you, wow, I think we're actually supposed to be living slower like this. So I think it's really good lessons. Obviously, everyone's different. I'm supposed to be living slower like this. And it's hard. And I'm totally with you on the whole like agile thing. I can't wait to walk without pain. I have like this weird, just like very intense sciatica pain every time I walk, just with pregnancy. And I have not like taken a step without pain since week 8 of pregnancy. And I almost forget what it's like to like go on a walk, go on a run and feel good. And I can't wait.
I can't wait for you. Like there is just you, it really shows you like how strong women are. It's insane mm-hmm. what our bodies go through. And then you just like talk to other pregnant women. And like, I always tell the story, like I would talk to women who were on their second or third child and they'd be like, oh my God, my first pregnancy was awful. Like I threw up like 10 times a day, but I'm only throwing up like 5 times a day for this one. So I'm so happy. And you'd be like, that's insane and sounds very, very hard, but like when we are just like in beast mode when we're pregnant.
We are. We just surrender to everything that our bodies are going through. I haven't been very nauseous, which is a gift. I don't know about you. I think it could be a lot worse. So that's one thing I'm trying to focus on. That's great. Not nauseous.
Yeah. The food aversions, I wouldn't say I had the nausea in the beginning, my second trimester, and literally up until recently, I had so many food aversions, which was really, really hard for me. I didn't want to eat anything I ate before. Like I used to eat so many vegetables. I was like always eating like Brussels sprouts, asparagus, broccoli. Like I was so plant-based. Like I can't even stand the smell of a cooked vegetable still. Mm-hmm. My husband made Brussels sprouts the other day and I walked in the house and I was like, who did that? Why did you do that? Because now it's on my clothes and I can smell it and it's everywhere. And he's like, I'm sorry.
The smells are so intense.
Exactly.
So what foods have sounded good to you?
Oh, it has been hard. Like I've been doing a lot of smoothies. Like I feel like I can get a lot of nutrition in smoothies. So that's been good for me. Like I can get my greens in there and some protein in there. And I always like coconut water and like hydration. That's been a big thing for me. Like staying hydrated for some reason during pregnancy has been so hard for me. I think because you pee every 5 seconds. So I don't want to drink more water, which is so stupid, but it's true.
I so get it. Last night, my husband was like, because we were talking about this lip thing that I was showing you before, where my lips are blistering and it's like a sign of dehydration. And my husband was like, you used to drink so much water and then you stopped drinking water because you're peeing every 15 seconds. And he's right. I'm like, yeah, I love being hydrated, but I'm actively avoiding drinking water because I don't want to be in the bath. I don't want to, you know, you don't sleep at all if you're getting up every 15, 20, 30 minutes.
Exactly. But so a lot of smoothies, and luckily I have craved cold things. So salads, fruits, that's been really good for me. Like apples, bananas, like really fresh salads, lots of citrus. Like I've been loving that. So that's been really, really great. I'm glad that I still like that, but totally gravitated away from any hot foods, which is weird because I'm running very hot. I go to acupuncture. My acupuncturist did her thing and she was like, you're running very, very hot this pregnancy. Like I'm boiling at all times. I used to be one of those people who were always like very cold. So that's really weird and interesting and has impacted my foods. What about for you? Have you had like weird food aversions or cravings? I haven't really had the cravings, but
same. I'm all about the aversions. That speaks to me. My first trimester was very much just like you. The vegetables sounded disgusting and I'm vegan, plant-based. So I always thought I'm going to be eating all these veggies. My baby's going to be so healthy. It's going to be amazing. The first trimester, all I could eat was bread, tortillas, siete tortillas with like vegan cheese. That was pretty much all I ate. And then to get the greens in, I would do a green juice. And I started getting super into green juice every day, which I was always into. But that was the only way, still kind of the only way that I'm getting the vegetables. So I'll do greens, but there has to be apple or pineapple or something. It cannot be straight greens anymore. So the green juice, I'm with you on the smoothies, acai bowls. It's all about the fruit. I could live off of fruit this pregnancy, and I can get back on some vegetables now, but so many food aversions. Chocolate, I was like a chocolate junkie. Does not sound good to me, not appealing at all. Just very basic. And I also have not had much of an appetite, which is kind of always what I thought would be the opposite. You think when you're pregnant, you're eating for two, you're so hungry. I witnessed my sisters, my sister-in-law, everyone being really hungry and kind of eating everything put in front of them. And I'm just like, I don't want to eat, but I want to give this baby so much nutrition and nutrients and nourishment. So I'm always just like spoon feeding myself something.
Same. And it's so weird for me because that always hit me in the evenings. Like most people complain about morning sickness and nausea. Mine would only be the evenings, like dinner every night. My husband would always want to be wanting to go out. And I would be like, I just can't fit a single thing. And now that I'm bigger too, I'm like, no, I literally physically and figuratively cannot fit anything in here. Like it doesn't want anything. And I feel so heavy. But
yes, yeah. Like a couple bites will fill you up, but yeah, you're not have enough for the baby. So there's like that stress and all of it.
Yeah. But actually you saying the tortilla thing with the vegan cheese, that was also my thing in the beginning. Lots of tortillas with real cheese for me. And then just now I was like, I'm going to go to Whole Foods after that and get that.
I know, right? Like that's probably what I'll have for a late lunch after this. It's consistently the only thing that sounds good. That's and great. I'm with you on the cold foods too. Like I used to drink room temperature water and now it's like, it has to have ice, tons of ice. I could just eat ice all the time.
That's so weird. There must be something to that.
Definitely. I think pregnancy, to speak to like running hot, makes you a lot more inflamed. Everything is more inflamed. Blood volume, I forget what the percentage is. It's like 7 times, I could be wrong, but like a lot times the amount of your typical blood volume. And I feel that, and that does like, it makes you hot and it makes me kind of dizzy. And like, there's a lot of laying down and all of that.
Absolutely, I hear you, yes.
Okay, guys, let's talk about my favorite healthy alternative to soda. You guys know I'm such a fan of anything nostalgic that reminds me of childhood, but it has to be healthy. Like, we are not going back drinking Coca-Cola or orange soda or anything, not TBB approved. So what is TBB approved is this healthy alternative to soda, Olipop. It tastes just like the sodas we all grew up with, but without the spoonfuls of sugar and artificial ingredients. They have delicious nostalgic flavors like vintage cola, classic root beer, orange squeeze, cherry vanilla, and strawberry vanilla. My favorite flavor right now is probably the classic root beer. I like to have it with some coconut vanilla ice cream, vegan, of course, if I'm having a treat. Or I just like to sip on it in the afternoon. It's delicious. It makes you feel like you're drinking something sweet, but really, it is so low sugar. So 90% of Americans consume more than the USDA's daily recommended added sugar intake. I'm sure you guys knew that, which is 30 grams. And sweetened beverages like soda often have more than 30 grams of sugar in a single can. So Olipop has only 2 to 5 grams of sugar, and it's all from natural sources, so there's no added sugar. Their vintage cola, for example, has only 2 grams compared to a regular Coca-Cola, which has 40 grams. All of their products are non-GMO, vegan, paleo, and keto-friendly, with less than 8 grams net carbs per can. They are so confident that you'll love their products that they offer a 100% money-back guarantee for orders placed through their website.
Also, they have fiber in them. So if you are into probiotics and prebiotics, you will love that Olipop supports a healthy gut microbiome thanks to the prebiotics, botanical extracts, and the 9 grams of plant fiber in each can, which is all good bacteria for your gut. So, of course, I have an exclusive deal for our TBB listeners. Receive 20% off plus free shipping on their best-selling variety pack. This is a great way to try all of the flavors that I mentioned and then choose your favorite. Go to drinkolipop.com/blonde or use the code blonde at checkout to claim this deal. That's drinkolipop.com/blonde. This discount is only valid for their variety pack. You can also shop in person at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Kroger, Wegmans, and Erewhon. Now let's get back into this episode with Emily. And then when it comes to your body changing, and you have a big audience, you have multiple millions of people following you, you have a big YouTube channel, you have a huge Instagram. Do people comment on your changing body? I'm curious.
Oh, yes. It's so funny. I screenshotted a DM and sent it to someone the other day because I was like, these are the kind of DMs I get. I got one from someone and they were like, I just want to let you know that you just look beautiful with all this extra weight on you. And I was like, I think you're actually being genuine, so I'm not going to be mad at you, but that is, I don't want to hear that. That is not what you want to hear. But yes, I've had people say all sorts of things, and it's interesting. Like, I will say people are obsessed with the question, like, how much weight have you gained so far? Pregnant people, non-pregnant people, people want to know, they're like, how many pounds, like how many weeks, how many pounds, like, how do you feel about that? And I actually don't look at the scale when I go to the doctors on purpose, because, like, you know, I have gone through such a journey with my body and getting to a place and being at peace with it. And I'm still on that journey being pregnant and watching it change. Like, it's not easy. Like, there are some days, like, along with this big belly, like I was telling my best friend, I also now have like a 36 double D boob, which I never had before. And I'm just like, not only, and now I'm a big boob person. And like, I don't know what to do with this. Like, I'm trying to get dressed for a wedding I have coming up. And I'm like, I used to be able to go braless and like do all these things. I'm like, I can't, like, I will be scaring away everyone with like all these lumps and bumps. But yes, so I've gotten a lot of comments and a lot of questions about it. On one hand, sometimes I share honestly that I've like struggled with it. And, you know, of course you think like, what will I be like this after I'm pregnant? Like, how will I feel? But I take it day by day. Some days I'm like, oh my God, this is so much. What is going on? And some days I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever. I can't believe there's like a little living person inside of my body right now. But there's a lot of curiosity, a lot of questions, and a lot of commentary on it, for sure. But, and some people think they're being nice. Like, they'll be like, oh my God, all bump. And you're like, nothing. Just say you look great.
Just say less. Exactly. I know. I've had that experience in a similar way. I mean, your audience is so big, and it started with like your modeling career. So I just can imagine the amount of comments that you get about that type of thing. But I too get those comments, and people are desperate to know about the weight gain. And I think it's just not really a socially acceptable question to ask someone, in my opinion. And especially because, why are we all comparing ourselves? We're all so different. So if I've gained 25 pounds, hypothetically, that doesn't mean that's healthy for somebody else, you know?
Totally.
They should maybe gain double or half or whatever, because everyone's so different. So there's that element of it all. And then I totally get you on the whole like boob thing. I've always had bigger boobs, especially for my body style. And here we are pregnant. And I'm like, oh my God, this is just a whole thing. This is a whole thing. And then you can only imagine with breastfeeding and everything, like, it's a journey. For sure.
It's a whole new body. And like, it makes me reflect on like how much or how tethered I felt or how much of my identity had to do with like I thought that I had reached a really great point of peace with my body, and I kind of had for that moment of time. And then pregnancy just brings on a whole new wave of like emotions, because then you're like looking at old photos, or I was, of myself, and I'm like, oh my God, look at me in those like high-waisted pants. Like, look at my waist. What the heck? Like, you know, and then I'm like, oh, that's not really helpful. But on one hand it is, because it's like, be grateful for how you look, because like, you always think like it could be better, should be better. And it's like, no, you look great now, like enjoy where you're at. But it's been an interesting ride for sure.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And just, it's just a time to be so easy on ourselves. And it's, I remind myself all the time, I look at other pregnant women and it's so beautiful to me. The transformation is phenomenal. So I try to remind that to myself about what's happening over here, which is always the hardest thing to do.
It is. When I see other women, you're just like, it's really powerful for sure. And especially then once you are pregnant, you realize how much you go through and how much every pregnant woman is probably going through. And it really is like a source of power for sure.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's amazing. I'm so excited that we're on this journey side by side, and you must be due in the beginning of December. That's amazing.
And you?
Christmas. Oh, Christmas is the due date.
So exciting.
Yeah, it's pretty special. It's amazing. So you're probably having a little Sagittarius girl, and I'm having a Capricorn, most likely, unless he comes a little early.
Yeah.
What's your sign?
I am a Pisces. So, and my husband is a Virgo. So I also was like, oh, if she came a little early, maybe we would get a little Scorpio baby, which would be good for us, like in terms of the energy of our household and what would be compatible with us. But then I've also heard on TikTok, like I somehow got on like baby nurse TikTok, and there was these baby nurses who said Sagittarius babies are like the easiest babies they've ever taken care of. And I was like, sold, I'm done. Fine. This will be good.
That's amazing. She'll probably be a Sagittarius unless she ends up being like quite early.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that all of that stuff is so interesting because we always get what we need. And I too feel like, oh, a Sagittarius would be a lot more compatible for me and my husband and our family than a Capricorn, but he's probably going to be a Capricorn. And that's probably exactly what we need.
Totally. What are you and your husband?
So I'm a Libra and my husband is a Leo. So I'm an air sign. He's a fire sign. We have tons of Sagittariuses in our life. So I just feel like I've always been surrounded by that type of personality. And then Capricorns, who I also love, I just feel like they're the polar opposite of a Libra. So it, for me, I will be like, okay, I need to find a way to support all of these earthy sides of you and all of that, which ultimately would be so powerful and so good for me. So we'll see. We'll see what he chooses to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So backing up a little bit into your kind of like, I want to hear about the beginning of your modeling career and how that all started for you and then how it got you to where you are today.
Yeah. So I started modeling in 2008, which feels so, so long ago. I was a junior, senior in high school, and I was scouted actually at a mall in Connecticut. And shortly after I was scouted there, I met with a bunch of agents who were like at this mall for this very strange like modeling competition. And my mom and I were there shopping, and someone approached me there and they were like, oh, you should come on stage and do this thing. And my mom and I were like, okay. It actually ended up being very legit, and they were real agents there. Shortly after that, I came to Manhattan, met with a bunch of really big agents in New York and agencies. And I was signed like within the week, and I was working like within the week or two. Like it all happened super, super fast for me, which was awesome. And I feel like that was how it was meant to be. If it had been any other way, I probably would not have pursued it as seriously as I had, like, because things just kind of like the momentum was there for me. So that was like my junior year, senior year. I was applying to colleges, I remember, and I had to make the tough decision, like, am I going to go to college or am I going to go and, you know, move to Manhattan? I'm going to try to be a model full time. So I decided to be a model full time. And it was a tough first couple of years because I was like alone living in New York and didn't know anyone. None of my friends came to college here. I was like, did not know a soul. So that was really tough. But got through it. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine that that would be tough to move to New York City by yourself at that age.
Yeah. And living alone. And the thing with being a model is you're technically freelance, right? So you never see the same people. There's no schedule or structure to it. So I felt like, you know, all of my friends were away at school, going to classes, meeting new people, like having all this fun. And I was like, I just work with new people every day and they're great and they're cool. But like, I don't know how to say to everyone, like, I'm desperately seeking a friend. Like, will you please be my friend? Cause like, I don't know anyone here.
Yeah. So how did you end up coping with that? How did you end up, you know, putting yourself out there and making friends ultimately?
You know, it's funny. It kind of happened, like, first of all, I leaned on my family a ton the first couple of years. Luckily, I'm only from like about an hour and 30 minutes north of Manhattan from upstate New York. So my parents would come down all the time and be with me. So luckily, like, I did have some support in that sense. But I do remember that I was working and I met a couple of girls on a job, and then they introduced me to more people, and it kind of happened organically like that. But I remember they introduced me to one girl that I just like absolutely connected with. And then that just kind of like, once you have one good friend that you're like, oh, I dig this person. Like, we really connect. And like, I'm good now because I have like this one person who always wants to hang. Then I was golden. And then it just opened up a whole new world.
Yes, I totally agree. As long as you have that one person, someone who you can call, someone who you can spend time with, someone who gets you, it's all you really need. I mean, yes, to more friends as well, but it's so much more about quality over quantity. And it's hard at that age.
It's hard. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Like 17, 18 years old. And like, I lived in the heart of NYU and there were all these college kids around me, but I was like, I have nothing to say to them because they're all like in classes and I'm just here like grabbing a coffee. But New York is like that. I feel like for everyone, even if you do come here knowing people, it can be a super lonely city. Like, you're surrounded by people, but that doesn't mean you find your people for a while.
Absolutely. That is so true.
Yeah.
So what was your career like at that time? So it happened really quickly. You found success kind of overnight, it sounds like. How was that?
Yeah. I mean, I found success overnight in the sense that I remember like the week or two after I got signed, I was shooting a campaign for Ralph Lauren and I had like never modeled in my life. And I was like, okay, this is pretty crazy. This is a very legit photo shoot. And then I was shooting like an editorial for Glamour magazine. And then about 4 or 5 months later, I was discovered by Maybelline. So Maybelline, the giant cosmetics brand, they asked me to come into their offices and I met with their entire team. And then I signed with Maybelline like shortly after that. So I had this giant cosmetics contract. I was only like 18 years old. And I was surrounded by like all of these supermodels, like Adriana Lima, Christy Turlington, Julia Segner. Like, I was like, what am I doing with all of these girls? But what was really great about that was like, I had a sense of stability because I like had this giant contract and, you know, I knew I was going to be working with them for the foreseeable future. And it also was kind of like, okay, this is my sign that I'm going to give this like a real, real try. Like, I'm not just going to like, cause I was always kind of like ready to run in the other direction and just go to college because I always felt like the clock was ticking, right? Like, I was like, oh, if I don't go to college now, like I'll never go, which kind of ended up happening. I did go to school for a couple of years here in New York, but so yeah, it happened quickly. And I did a lot of commercial work my first couple of years, which, you know, back in when I first started was much less cool, meaning like I was doing Maybelline, I was doing TV commercials, lots of catalog, and I loved it. Like, I just loved being busy and working. And then kind of midway through there, I shot Sports Illustrated swimsuit and I was on the cover of French Vogue and Spanish Vogue and Russian Vogue, and things like escalated very quickly, like over the years. And I kind of hit every corner of the career that I wanted to hit in a way. Like, I had done commercials, I had done TV, I had done print, catalog, I had walked on in amazing shows. Like, I had a very like full 360 career, which I still do. I mean, I'm pregnant now, but like, grateful that I've been able to kind of do all of those different types of modeling and hit those different types in the industry.
Yeah, that's a lot of incredible things. I mean, the cover of Sports Illustrated swimsuit, Vogue, what was your favorite of all the different things that you got to do?
Oh my gosh. I think my cover of French Vogue that I did was one of my favorites. And that was like 2015, which is a while ago now, but it was just one of those moments for me. I never thought that I would do like high fashion modeling like that. Like that was very cool, very prestigious. And when I got that, I was like, I really felt like I had like made it as a model, which was cool. So yeah, I'd say that.
That's awesome. I love that. And then what's your favorite part of what you do now? I love how honest and open you are on Instagram and your YouTube channel. And you've really, I think, from someone who's come from the modeling world as you have, developed such a vulnerable and open relationship with your audience and your fans. And that's not always an easy thing to do. So you love that? Like, were you always an open person? And then what's your favorite part?
You know, I guess 2014, 2015, when social media was like becoming extremely important. And I'll never forget, like, my agents and agencies would be like, followers are important. Like, you need a lot of followers. And I'd be like, how do you get followers? Like, I'm just a regular girl. Like, I don't understand. But I think I really did lean into it. Like, even Instagram, with YouTube, starting my YouTube channel, like, I just really looked around and watched what other people were doing. And I remember it was when influencers were becoming like really prominent. And I was like, I can do that. I can share what I eat and what I like and what's going on in my life. Like, I'd love to do that, because I always felt like, as a model, felt very two-dimensional. I felt like whenever I would meet people in person, even when I would go to work, they would always be like, oh my God, I never expected you to sound like that. I thought you were Brazilian or Italian or something like this. And they're like, you're so American. I'd be like, yeah, but people just don't know who you are and what you're like. So I really leaned into the social media side of stuff, and people totally made fun of me. Like, I would go to work and people would be like, oh my God, are you like a vlogger now? Like, okay, Emily. Same exact people who now are like, hey, I think I should start a channel. Like, how did you do it? Do you edit your own videos? And I'm like, guys, like, we're late. You're late now. Like, this.
Exactly.
So I really leaned into that. But like, I do love being a content creator, call it, in a sense, because like, you just have more control over what you're doing and your schedule and your life. Like, I spent so many years just like being ready to fly to Europe like that night. Like, I would get a phone call from my agent being like, you have a job tomorrow in Italy. Like, can you get on a plane tonight? And I'd be like, sure. And when you're 21, 22 years old, you're really just like, sure, I'll do whatever. And then I recently launched my skincare business in March, and that brings on a whole new set of challenges and roles and responsibilities, but a whole level of control and challenges in a way, but in a really good way. Like, it kind of shows you how much you're capable of. Cause I feel like, as a model, I spent so many years just being like, being told what to do, where to go, how to dress, how to look. And now it's like, I have more control and say over things, which is really, really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's like working for yourself versus working for someone else, pretty much.
Exactly.
So, did you always love skincare? Was that a long time passion? How did that come to be?
Yeah, I always loved beauty and skincare. And I kind of came from that world where obviously my skin was my life and my job. But I also would use and try every product that was ever recommended to me. I had like a 10 plus step skincare routine that just simply didn't work. My skin would suffer. And I found that I really struggled with like, what products do I actually need in my routine? Do they work together? And like, how do I actually layer these products? And how do I simplify my routine, but still allow it to be effective? Which is why we came up with the Covey routine, myself and my business partner. But I had always loved beauty, and the idea of simplifying it was something that I felt really passionate about, because I think we're coming from a world where more is more with skincare. There's so much information. There's so many influencers, beauty influencers, skincare influencers, people recommending these 10, 12 step routines. But I was always like, I did that. It doesn't work for me. Like, how do I simplify it and keep it effective? So that's why we created this routine that was made to work together and keep it simple.
I love that. I'm all about simple. Like, yeah. If I put too many things on my face, I will wake up with a rash and it will not be a good look. So simple is amazing. And I have to imagine it probably took a while to find the right formulas and the right type of product. And I was just talking to someone yesterday who started just a skincare oil that she was working on for 3 years before I launched. So I'm curious what that journey was like for you.
Same thing, 3 years. It was myself and my business partner. It took us 3 years of research. And also we did over 12 iterations of each of the products because we launched with this three-step routine and we tested it on over 150 different people and continued to get feedback from them and then go back and iterate. So like the actual creation of the products took so long, but we really wanted to create this like universal routine that worked for everyone in all skin types and ages and backgrounds and ethnicities. So the testing process, like it was so many people that we were testing on and like kept going back and forth and, you know, figuring out what ingredients were working, what wasn't, what was irritating people, what were they complaining about, textures, consistencies. So it was a very, very long process for sure. But like at the end of the day, I'm so happy that we spent the time doing that. I can't tell you how many times we wanted to be like, no, like this could be good enough. Like it could be, but then we would be like, but oh, that one person like complained about the smell or like that one person complained about this. But I'm so glad we stuck to our guns because like we've gotten great reviews and feedback and people love the product. And every time I'm like, we did the right thing, like holding out.
It's always worth it. It's always worth it. And what are your goals with it now? Do you foresee that being like the main thing that you do moving forward?
I mean, I feel like being pregnant, I'm like, there is a part of me that wants to go back to like my modeling side of work, meaning like I miss that excitement and kind of like hectic part of my life. But of course, Covey will always be now like the center of it in a way, because like it's our business. We self-funded it. Like it's not something that like someone can do for me. And I'm head of all of the creative, all of the content, and I love doing it too. So that's like the center of it. But being a content creator on the side and also being a model, it's only complementary to Covey, but Covey feels like more of like the center of things now for sure. Because you just get invested. And now you're like, I'm like, there's no going back. I've put all this time and energy into it. It's, which is great. And I feel lucky that like, once I give birth, depending on how I feel too, I'm sure you feel the same way. Like, I don't know who I'll be or what I'll want to do after I give birth. Like, you know, I'm like,
that is the $1 million question. I have no idea. Am I like, I'm thinking, am I ever going to want to work again? Am I going to want to work harder than I've ever have before? Because I'm going to be so full of passion. I just have no idea. And that's the really interesting thing. So I've been kind of trying to set it up during that time. And it's kind of a blessing that we're both giving birth around the holidays because it's a nice time to take time off. Right. And January was always my favorite month to like not really go back to work very quickly and just kind of be cozy. So I think that's going to be such a gift, timing wise, but I've been trying to figure out and kind of try to set things up for that, but it's impossible to figure it out. But I feel myself leaning in a much more creative direction. I've always been interested in all the creative things. It's all that I do anyway, but even more creative where I'm like, oh, okay. I think this baby is pushing me toward that. And motherhood is opening up this new portal. So I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to know, but it's fun to think about. It's fun,
to think.
Yeah.
Someone said to me that like, after you give birth, that like you become like the ultimate multitasker and you become so efficient with your time and your energy. And I'm like, I embrace that. I think that sounds really good. I think you don't really have a choice. So it probably feels hectic, but I'm down for that, to that skill set.
Me too. That was one of my favorite pieces of advice, was the efficiency factor goes through the roof. And I'm excited about that because right now, I don't know if I would call myself efficient. I'm like wandering around my house, like tidying things up, thinking about all the things I have to do. So efficiency sounds awesome.
Agreed. 100%.
I would love to thank our sponsor for today's episode, Four Sigmatic. Four Sigmatic is my longest standing sponsor, which I'm so honored to say because they're such a big part of my life and such a big part of this show. Four Sigmatic is a wellness company that is well known for their delicious mushroom coffee. Their mushroom coffee is real, organic, fair trade, single origin, and full of different adaptogenic mushrooms that bring you whatever you need to thrive. So whether that's more productivity, more immune support, more alertness, you could look to the different mushrooms like lion's mane, chaga, etc., for whatever it is that you're looking to enhance in your life. I've been starting my day with Four Sigmatic's ground mushroom coffee for so long now, and that's because it doesn't give me jitters. It helps me focus so I can get shit done. It tastes amazing, and I feel so much more productive on the days that I drink my Four Sigmatic. And it also doesn't affect my nervous system in the way that, say, a large cold brew coffee in the morning, which I also love, but it really does affect my nervous system. Four Sigmatic doesn't do that. It keeps me steady. It keeps me balanced. It doesn't crash and burn my adrenals. It just feels so good. Mushroom coffee is easy on the gut, and it does not leave you with a midday crash. All Four Sigmatic products are organic, vegan, and gluten-free. Plus, every single batch is third-party lab tested to ensure its purity and safety, so you know you're getting the highest quality coffee and mushrooms possible. Now, you're probably thinking, does this coffee taste like mushrooms? I can guarantee you it tastes just like the coffee you love. It brews dark and nutty and tastes incredible. They have over 20,000 five-star reviews, and best of all, they back their products with a 100% money-back guarantee. Love every single sip or get your money back. We have worked out an exclusive offer with Four Sigmatic on their best-selling mushroom coffee, but this is just for our TBB listeners. Get up to 40% off plus free shipping on mushroom coffee bundles. To claim this deal, you must go to foursigmatic.com/blonde. This offer is only for the Balanced Blonde listeners and is not available on their regular website. You'll save up to 40% off and get free shipping, so go right now to foursigmatic.com/blonde and fuel your productivity and creativity with some mushroom coffee. So what does a day in the life look like for you right now? Like, walk us through your daily routine.
Yeah. So I wake up in the mornings. Now I wake up quite late. For me, it's late, 7:30, 8 o'clock, because I'm up all night long now. I don't know about you, but I have like the pregnancy insomnia, wired every night at like 12:30, and my husband's over there snoring. I'm like, oh Lord. And then I wake up, I have breakfast, something really light. I'm still drinking coffee, just a little bit in the morning, just because it's part of my morning routine, and I'll have some fruit. And I've been working out almost every single day of my pregnancy. That's one thing that like I've been super proud of myself for, is like I've kept up with my workout routine and stayed active and stayed moving, which I think has helped so much, even just with like mood and energy levels, even though I do pretty much take a nap every single day, but that's just a given. Like, that would be happening even if I didn't work out. And then most days I come back, and usually I have a ton of calls for Covey, you know, talking with my team and figuring out creative and ads and product development and like all of that. And then some days though are my kind of content creation days, which I like to carve out a full day for that and kind of batch it. If I have some work to do or some paid partnerships, or I just want to shoot some content for Instagram or YouTube generally, I kind of have to keep my creative days blocked off. Like, it kind of has to be fluid for me. If I have it scheduled out, or if I have a call in between, nothing will happen, because I just wait for like that call at 1 p.m. I'm like, I have a call in 4 hours. I'm going to sit here and wait for it to happen. That efficiency thing is.
I do that too. I so get that.
Yeah. And then have lunch every day. My husband is still working from home, so we always eat a salad together. And then, you know, I'm usually like on calls and stuff, and just in my office here in New York, in our home office, and then usually cooking at home, occasionally going out to eat here in New York, but that has been less desirable over the last couple of weeks. And I'm usually like in bed and reading some sort of baby book by like 9 o'clock.
Love it. What are the books that you've been reading? The baby books.
So the one that I'm reading right now is Crib Sheet by Emily Oster. I read Expecting Better by her, and she is a professor and an economist. And basically she's just a totally data-driven approach to parenting and telling you like, what do you need to know? What matters? Like, from everything from like when you take the baby home, while you're at the hospital, foods you should eat, what you shouldn't eat. Here's the data, like take it as you will, which I love. For me, I'm like, these are the facts. And also I love all of her books. At the end of each chapter is like key takeaways. I'm like, this is amazing. This is the cliff notes. Like, it's just like, here's what you need to know. This is the five things I talked about. Here are the takeaways. So that's what I'm reading. Are you reading anything right now that you've really liked?
Yeah. So that sounds good. I'm going to check out her books. I've heard of her. I've been reading a lot of fiction, to be honest. I have like this massive stack of like pregnancy, parenting, birth books that I'm like kind of reading, but I've just been like fully escaping into the fiction world. But I have right here, because I'm looking at the stack, The Fourth Trimester, A Postpartum Guide. I've been like flipping through that because that came highly recommended. Conscious Parenting, which is an amazing book. Obviously a lot more about parenting than like pregnancy or birth or anything like that, but just kind of getting to know like that, you know, it's a huge thing that we're stepping into. So that's been good. Books by Lori Bregman. She's a doula. What's it called? What is it? It's called something about mindful motherhood. That one's been good. Yeah. So I'm the kind of person who's reading like 10 books at once.
I'm the same, because I skim, I flip through things. Yeah. I'm the same way.
Yeah, exactly. And what's your spiritual practice like?
Spiritual practice, meaning do I meditate or anything like that?
Yeah.
Or...
I mean, it could, whatever it means to you.
I mean, I feel like for my spiritual practice, it's kind of like, I really think about that tethered to like my self-care in a way. Like for myself, I need just like a significant amount, not a significant amount, but a decent amount of alone time, just quiet time each day. You can call it meditation, but like my mornings are really sacred. I keep it quiet. I like to be by myself, or I like to just go for a really long walk in the mornings, like just to be kind of alone and quiet and let my thoughts kind of like start my day. I find that if I start my day by just reaching for my phone or sitting down at the computer, I feel spiritually and physically like a slob. And I don't know how to explain that. Like it just doesn't get me going or inspired or feel good about my life or my day. I also love yoga. I do yoga a few times a week. I'm actually a certified yoga instructor. So yoga has been something, especially I'm sure you know, with the aches and the pains and all of that, sometimes just like stretching and doing some yoga, even if it's only 10, 15 minutes, it makes the world of a difference. So that's been so wonderful and always keeps me like connected and grounded and like get back to my breath. And you just feel so much better after, like there's no getting around that. But also my workouts are the same way. Like I really see that as linked to my spiritual wellness, just because like when I work out, I feel stronger, I feel better, I'm happier, I'm a better person. And I look forward to it. I crave it. And not in a way like I just can't wait to like get all this energy out of my system. It's just like a time where I do not think about anything else. And I love that.
Me too. Yes. The mental aspect of working out. And I could not agree more about yoga. Yoga is getting me through this pregnancy / getting me through my life even before pregnancy, but especially now with the aches and pains, it's amazing.
Truly. It's a gift.
It really is. I love that. Okay. So I want to ask you the rapid fire questions that I ask everyone who comes on the show. Do you know your human design?
No. What's
that? Okay. We're going to have to look it up for you because we're obsessed with human design over here. So do you know, I mean, we don't have to look it up right now, but do you know your birth time by any chance?
Yes. 11:43 in the morning.
Oh, okay. Well, then we can look it up right now. And I'll just, you are a projector. We love projectors.
What does that mean?
I know. There's like a lot to it. So in human design, there's 5 different types. And 3 of those types are called energy types. And 2 of those types are non-energy beings. And so you and I are both the non-energy types, which is you're a projector, I'm a reflector. And projectors, there's all this different amazing stuff that comes along with it. But projectors are the seers. So people who can see a better, more efficient or upgraded approach to a specific thing and are here to share that with others. Your strategy is being invited. So I don't know if you've ever felt like when it comes to work and career and like friendships and some of the best things in your life, it's best if you wait to be invited is what they say about projectors. And it's not about waiting and not putting yourself out there. It's about putting yourself into the right situations and then people really seeing where you shine and then asking you to show up in those ways.
I mean, that sounds about right. Cause I'm definitely not the person like fighting for the invite or to get in. I just kind of like wait for the time and place. So that sounds right.
Yeah. So you're living your design in that way. And then there's so much more to it. I'll send you your chart because you are an emotional authority. So you make decisions based off of how something makes you feel. You're a 6'2".
That's correct.
Yeah. 6'2" are your numbers. And I know that doesn't mean a whole lot when you are just learning about it. But after this, I'm going to text you your chart so you can, if you want to look into it more. But our audience, we are huge human design fans. So people can appreciate that you're a projector.
Yay. That's so exciting. I can't wait to dive into that. That sounds fun.
It's really fun. And then do you know your rising and moon signs?
Yes, I am a Gemini rising and Cancer moon.
Oh, I'm a Cancer moon too. Cancer moons always like gravitate toward each other.
Yes.
You're Gemini. So you have quite the emotional and sensitive chart between the Pisces sun, the Cancer moon. The Gemini rising probably gives you some more, I mean, it's air, but I always think of Gemini's as also very fiery. So that gives you that like...
Exactly. That is 100% true. I think the Gemini gives me kind of like this chatty Kathy exterior or like what I can project in a way. But I definitely am very sensitive.
I love that. I totally relate. Are you a morning person or a night person?
A morning person. 100%. I like, if I had it my way, I would end every day at like 3 PM. That's it. But wake up at like 5:30, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, then I'm happy you're here with us right now because with our time difference, this is like getting into the evening for you.
Yeah, so but I'm good. You. I'm golden.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for being so sexy. And are you a coffee or tea person?
Coffee. Always. Cold brew. Love it.
Me too. And I'm also drinking coffee in pregnancy. And I think when things bring you that much joy, removing them from your life is not always the best move.
I tried it. I gave it up for like a week and I was like, I feel like I'm sacrificing enough right now. Like this is such an important part of my morning routine. It makes me so happy. It's a social thing. Like I need it.
Yeah. I think it's so healthy in all of those ways.
Yeah.
Who inspires you?
I think I probably feel most inspired by my husband. I'm like, just because we're always together, but you know, he is the Virgo in my life. He is just so organized and he's so driven and he's a real machine. Like he inspires me in a sense that I'm like, I sometimes so much so that I'm like, I feel so inadequate standing next to you because he does so much in a day and multitasks in a way that I never will be able to. But he is so like solution orientated and never sees any obstacle as something that can't be fixed or overcome or solved in some way or made better in some way. He's a real force and really strong. And he really inspires me like professionally. I'm a good influence on him because I'm a little bit more sensitive, a little more emotionally in tune. Sometimes I have to get him to pause and be like, oh, you know, let's think about how that feels for that person or what's going on here. So we're a good yin and yang, but he definitely inspires me in like a lot of ways.
Sounds like you guys are a good balance.
Yeah.
I love that. What's your dream vacation?
My dream vacation, I would say, I think the best vacation I ever went on and my dream vacation to go back to was safari, just because I felt so far from everything in the world and like being in nature and watching animals like in their natural environment. Like it was the most zen and connected I felt to the world in a way, but also disconnected. So I'd say that. Loved it.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And since this is the Soul on Fire podcast, what are your tips for everyone looking to set their soul on fire?
I would say that, you know, keep a running list in your notes or your diary of things that throughout the day spark joy for you. I felt like for myself, not until my adult life, like I had to start making a physical list of things that I gravitated towards. And when I would leave doing those things or finish doing those things, I would be like, I feel amazing. Or I feel amazing after seeing that person. It can be a person. It can be an activity. It can be a book, a movie, a show, whatever it needs to be. But like physically keep a list of those those things and make note of them throughout the day, the week, the month, so you know when you need to kind of reach into that toolbox for your soul or like your spiritual health.
I love that.
Yeah. And
where can everyone find you?
Yeah, you can find me. I'm at Emily DiDonato on Instagram, DiDonato Emily on TikTok, Emily DiDonato on YouTube. I'm on all the platforms. So come say hello.
Yes. Yes. You have such good YouTube videos. It's so good that you got into it when you did. YouTube is so fun.
It's a lot of work, but it's fun.
It's a lot of work. If it was less work, I would put out YouTube videos all the time. But I think it's been like a year because it is a lot of work. The video editing is a whole different part of the brain.
It's a beast. It's a lot. Yeah.
So that's so impressive. And you're doing so much. And everyone has to check out your skincare line, Covey.
Yes.
And absolutely. All of the above.
Yes, that would be great. Okay. Just at Covey on Instagram, come say hello.
Yeah. And then we'll stay tuned for the birth of your daughter.
Yes, of course. And
have you thought about like what that might look like sharing the baby? I mean, it's probably hard to know before they're here, but I know some people have.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I don't know how much I'm going to share. I haven't felt even that inclined to share that much during my pregnancy, which is weird. Like even on social, even though there's like so much to talk about, right? Like we could probably talk about this all day long, like our symptoms, what we're going through, how we feel, what we're nervous about. I don't like want to share it on my socials for some reason, because it's like, I haven't sifted through my own emotions. So I don't know how I'll feel like once I actually give birth. I got to see how it goes.
I think that's a good plan. See how you feel.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. I'm going to try to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Some people have a strong opinion of not showing their baby's face for different reasons. Yeah. I don't know if I'm capable of that because I've always shared so much.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, if it's meant to be that way, it'll be obvious. So
you got to follow your heart and your intuition. I just think we'll be different people by the time we give birth. Like we will.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of transformation over the next three and a half months.
Exactly.
Even more than already happened, which is crazy. Uh-huh. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much for coming
on. Thank you.
So fun. Okay, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this conversation. Emily is so fun to talk to and such a powerful, dynamic person. I'm so excited for her to bring her baby girl into the world and to see how our little babies, when they come, first of all, and like how cute they are, and we'll have to get them together one day. It's going to be so incredible. And also check out her skincare line, check her out on Instagram, TikTok, all the places. She's so inspiring. I love her relatable content, her body positivity, her beauty, her aesthetic, all the wonderful things that she shares. Thank you also to our sponsors for today's episode. We have the brand new sponsor, Obey Fitness, code BALANCED for a whole month free of Obey Fitness live on-demand workouts. And we also have Olipop, code BLONDE for a 25% off discount on their variety pack. And you can also find those links in the show notes. Again, if you feel inspired to rate and review the podcast on Apple, send me a screenshot to jordan@thebalancebond.com so I can thank you by sending you my free yoga ebook. And overall, I'm just so happy that you're here. I hope everyone has a wonderful Soul on Fire day, and we'll talk next week. Mwah.